Good morning, folks. Really proud and honored to be here. Thanks a lot, Bob. I want to give Bob and his wife, Val, a hand. Because my wife and I realize what it takes to put on these conferences, and it's a lot of work. It's a lot of stress, if you will. But in a sense, though, if it's done with joy, that's joy in the Lord. That's about as powerful as you can get. And so we really thank you for that. I'd like to thank, this is going to be tough because he's an engineer, but I'd like to thank our brother Ron for his message. It was really great. That was a really good message. And I loved listening to it. I really did. It was great. And a lot of really important subjects that he went over there. Well, as far as the theme is concerned, I'm going to talk about the one God in 1 Timothy. And if we can go back to 1 Timothy, and we can read in 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. And this fact carries over into many truths, carries over into Christ as the high priest of Hebrews, carries over into Christ being God on earth in the flesh, carries over into many important subjects. But what I'm going to do today, and what the Almighty laid on my heart is I want to leave an indelible impression in your brains as to who our God is and what our God is and who we are in Him, what He's done for us, and what He thinks about us. Because this might be very valuable if you go through times of pressure, pain, sorrow, doubt, or warfare, whatever that might, however that might come to you, however subtle, however painful, however severe. And I don't want to necessarily be negative, but I don't think that, in a sense, what I'm talking about is negative, because we're in a spiritual war, and that's a matter of fact. And so we have a particular time on this planet. I'm constantly aware of that for some reason in my life. I'm 58 years old now. Ooh, I don't know why you're whistling. You know, if that's good or bad, I don't really know. Maybe I don't want to know. But I'm a child. No, but it went like 21, 31, 58. And I say this every time I speak, but it's really true. And, you know, we have beautiful young people here and beautiful children. And I just told a couple back there, I said, have fun with it because it's going to move like a freight train. Boom. Next thing you know, your son will be driving. Oh, no, bringing home dates. You know, I tell that to my assistant. Oh, no, she doesn't want to hear that. But it's true. It goes like a freight train. And we have a particular time on this planet, and we're here and we're gone. You know, and we have a time of testation here. That's reasonable with our God. He can do what he wants to do, but he does test us. We're in a time of testation here. I think I can reasonably and honestly say that for what I know about the Lord. Sometimes I wonder exactly why, in certain ways that he tests us, but he is. And I think I believe that he tests us to bring glory and honor to him. And, you know, I believe we're doing that in our walk with him. I really do. To principalities and powers. See, I believe particularly that our lives here are for a reason, and that in that our reason for being is not totally going to come after resurrection or after manifestation. I believe that our reason for being starts now, starts when you were called into your calling. You know, that's the reality of it. So what I'm going to talk about today is I'm going to talk about who our God is and what he is a little bit. And you can say, well, that sounds pretty basic, but that's okay. It's beautiful. Then I'm going to read over Ephesians 1:1-11 in an expanded Koine Greek rendition that I put together. And what you're going to see in that is you're going to see the love of our dear Heavenly Father for the church, which is the fullness of His Son. And these words are about as real as reality can get if you're a member of the church, which is the body of the fullness of the Creator. Okay, so that's what I'm going to be doing. So here we go. Who is our God? Well, I have some names of the Old Testament as far as who He is. And this might be a little interesting to you. Jehovah. El. Just E-L. Elohim. Eloah. Adonai. Shaddai. Jehovah, the eternal God. And what is my point this morning? My point is this, is who is our God behind us? All right? Now, I think that, let me just say, personally speaking, I can forget this by getting too wound up in things of this planet. I can forget this moment by moment. And see, my personal experience is that I need His strength, not tomorrow. Not after dinner. I need His strength moment by moment. And maybe I'm a wimp, but that's my experience. I need His strength moment by moment. My brain, when I get up, bingo, it's cranking. And if that's the case, I am under the possibility of being attacked from the time I'm conscious to the time I'm not. And so, this warfare is very real. And we are human, we are flesh, yet we have the glory of God through the Holy Spirit dwelling within. We have a battle in our own selves. We have a battle outside ourselves. We have a battle in the spiritual arena. The world, the flesh, the devil. So, that's why it's important to keep in mind who is behind us and who loves us, you know, who loves us. To have a constant understanding of who you are in Him. That, you know, Pete was talking about putting on the whole armor. That is Christ. The whole armor is Christ, for sure. And he made a comment, he said, if you have the whole armor on you, you're impervious to attacks of the evil one. Ultimately, he's right. Ultimately, he's right. But, and I don't want to be a devil's advocate, but do we have that armor on moment by moment? Because our life isn't in segments of hours. It's moment by moment. Your brain is working millisecond by millisecond. And so the battle is spiritual. It's a spiritual warfare. So the battle is for your mind in this place. And if you have anything to add to that or disagree with that or whatever, hey, let me know. I want to know. But as far as I know, my battle is for my faith and my trust in the Lord, and it's moment by moment in my mind. That's my experience. And so Jehovah, who's behind us, the eternal God, the self-existent God who stands in covenant relationship with his people, of course, that had to do a lot with Israel. Nevertheless, our God is eternal. He is the self-existent God. Are there many gods in this world? Probably. Do human beings in this world worship other gods? Yes, they do. They do some pretty wild things. And they are people that look as nice as you do. Oh, yes, they do. Some of them have more money than you could ever dream about. The rulers of this planet want to take it over. And there are people with enough power to try to work that out. That's what they're doing. Yet they're working it out for the God of this world. That's what they're doing. And eventually what he's going to do is he's going to corral them all up. And he's going to be their God. They're not going to be in control of it. He will. And he's going to say, I'm God. That's what's happening on your planet right now. However, whatever it takes to get there is what's happening. Whatever gods they do, all of those gods are Satan himself on the planet. Okay, but he is not the eternal God. He is not El, God the Almighty, the omnipotent God. This is who's behind us. Elohim, God the Creator. Aloha, the God who is to be worshipped and reverenced, the living God in contrast with all idols and with all false gods. He is the true God.
Amen.
Here, the living God, the Aloha. This is who's behind you. Adonai, God is ruler of the whole earth. He still rules and overrules. Shaddai, God as all-bountiful, the giver of every good gift, the fountain of divine help. He is our divine helper, the omnipotent one. Not too bad to start with. Okay. Now I have some verses that I'm going to read. This is very simple, very basic, but just take a listen. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. Okay, I'm just going to read you seven scriptures. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God? That he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. So now, and that's out of 1 John 5, 4 through 7. So now we learn that our God, and you could say, well, I knew this already. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But how do they work? And what do they do? How do we understand them in the scriptures? Who is this God that's behind us? Does the Holy Spirit dwell in us? Jesus the Christ, was he God manifest in the flesh? Yeah. And so God dwelt in our flesh. We should understand the nature and the full understanding of that. But the hour comes and now is when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such to worship him. God is spirit. So, again, what am I trying to do here this morning? I'm trying to describe the God who is behind us. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so to worship God correctly, you have to understand what truth is. Okay? John 4, even though that's not necessarily of our calling. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Do you know Him as such? Do you know God the Father as the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort? Do you know Him as such? Because that is who is behind you. In the beginning, God, Elohim, created the heavens and the earth. And the earth became without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Holy Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And so we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Do you understand the three persons of the Godhead? Who they are, what they do, how they function, what they all mean to you. You could say, well, that's very basic, but maybe there's more to it than we realize. All right? When we study the scriptures, how is it that we know the truth? Well, the fact of the matter is that we have God the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. And that fact is more glorious than we realize. It's true. Because Christ was here at one time and then He left. He resurrected from the dead and He said, I will send you the Comforter. Right? That's the Holy Spirit. But the Comforter, who is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave you, My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. The God of peace. The Prince of peace. Do you know the peace of God in your life? Be anxious for nothing, but on all things, through prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God shall guard or garrison your hearts and minds. Do you know the God of peace? Because that's who is behind you. And in this place, we need the God of peace every day, every moment. Because peace is being attacked in your lives every moment. Every moment. And if you get wound up, if you get wound up too much in this place, you're going to be void of the peace of God. And we have to understand, what does God want for us? What does the Father want for us as we walk the planet? You know, what our daily existence is. What would He have for us? Is that a question that is too far out there, unanswerable? What would He have for us? What would He have us think about as we move through our lives on this planet? All right, He would have us to know Him. He states that He would have us to know our calling. Very succinctly, very fully, and without debate. He wants us to have full knowledge of His will for us. And we're going to be looking at that as I read Ephesians 1, 1 through 11. Because what I'm going to do is I'm going to hopefully enlighten all of us as to the heart of our dear Heavenly Father concerning us right now, right in this place. All right? Because I don't know about you, but I need Him right now, right in this place. You know, I don't need His strength when I'm manifested in glory. I need Him every day, right now, in this place. And I think that that moves into the question of being adopted sons of God. It's not something that's a matter of religiosity that's going to occur somewhere when I'm out of here. It's right here and right now. And that's what makes us true believers and members of the body of Christ. It's right here and right now. All right? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. All right. Now, you live in a world that might deny this. Again, these are basic things. But you're going to run into people that worship other gods, that worship a God that says that Christ was not God. They worship in a way that would make Christ less than God. You're going to run into that. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We've heard that before, but Christ is God, and we are the fullness of him, and he is the creator of all things. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief or first. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Christ Jesus might show forth all long-suffering for a pattern to them that should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. This is him who is behind you. You know, and I know that we're all going to be in this place for a day and for a day and a half. And this is a really excellent place to be right now. It is. It's a beautiful thing that these people are putting on here. And to be with you folks is beautiful. It's, you know, you're my brothers and sisters in the Lord. But we're going to walk out that door and we're going to walk into the world. And then it's going to start happening again. Right? It's all going to start waving back in again. And so, like I said, I want to just exclamate to you who's behind you. That's my purpose this morning. The Son of God. Here are some of his titles. The Resurrection and the Life, John 11. The Light of the World, John 8. The Lamb of God, John 1. The Chief Cornerstone, Ephesians 2. The Author and Finisher of our Faith, very interesting, Hebrews 12. The Head of the Church, Ephesians 1. And He is, I am. John 8. That is very, very important. Very, very important. I might even finish early. What, how much time do I have? 20 more minutes. Okay. I wanted to say to you that while Ron was talking about mowing the lawn on Sunday, remember that? Well, if he would have been in Green Bay and mowing the lawn on Sunday, they would have been more vicious to him than that lady was. Because in Green Bay, Wisconsin, during a Packer game, there's no... What's wrong? In Green Bay, during a Packer game, there is nobody anywhere but in the stadium. No... What? Nobody in the walls, nobody on the streets, anywhere, I'm not kidding you. And there was a guy that came from out of town, right? Did a friend? Oh, they moved up there and some kid was mowing his lawn and some lady came out and railed on him. What are you doing mowing your lawn during a Packer game? And he was like, holy cow. So, I was just thinking about that. when Ron was talking about that. But people have really strange ideas. And a lot of our battle does come from human beings and what they know and what they don't know about the Lord. And what you have in the Lord is so very precious, I want to tell you, that it's beyond words. And it should be guarded as you live. Very much so. Because your world, I'm astounded at what they don't want to believe. But they are here for a period of time. Now we're moving into a world that is spiritually wicked to the point where they don't even maybe acknowledge God in a big way anymore. Everything is an electronic game and gizmo going on from start to finish. All right? And see, their world is their world of comfort for now also. I try to understand the world I'm living in because it's not the same one that I grew up in. And so I try to understand what's going on. And what I understand is this, is I understand they're living for the now and they're not concerned with anything else. They're not even realizing that they're going to die. Do you know that everything is, it's for the now. It's for the now. They don't even realize why they were born. They don't realize why they're living. They don't realize why they're going to die. They don't care. I mean, but the fact of the matter is reality is still there. The reality is still there. They still live in a creation. They still are a creation. They still are mortal. They still are sinners. They still need the Lord. They still need to know about Him. Yet they don't care. Now that, if that isn't scary, or whatever words you want to put it on it, I don't know what is. Because they are not functioning, I'm talking about the world that I'm seeing, they don't even know what reality is anymore. They have created their own. That's what I see happening from the time that I grew up, when people still sought God. They still tried to understand what's beyond all this. Now, it's not even a matter of thinking about that anymore. It's what's ever here and now in front of your face. That's what reality is anymore. And that is incredibly wicked. I think I can put it like that. Because that isn't reality whatsoever. Yet, they don't bother concerning themselves about what it is. And so, a people like that are easily taken over. No problem. That's what's happening. Let me read Ephesians 1, 1 through 11 in the expanded version. And this is to let you know about your dear Heavenly Father and what He thinks about you and what He's done for you. All right, so you're going to read Ephesians 1, verse 1. I might even end early. And I hope that I'm making a point to you. I know that seriously in my heart, this might not be tremendously dynamic, but I know that seriously in my heart it's needed. I do. It doesn't matter where we all are at in our particular lives. It matters if you're a son of God. All right, read Ephesians 1, verse 1, and I'm going to read my version from the Greek. Paul, a sent one of Christ Jesus, with the full authority of God, by the heart's desire of the Father, and my point is the heart's desire of the Father. Who is your heavenly Father? Do you know Him? The Father of mercies, do you know Him? Does he exist? Oh yeah. Does his dearly beloved Son exist? Oh yeah. What do you know about him? The Holy Spirit, does he exist? Oh yeah. What do you know about him? Are these bizarre questions? No, they're not. You should be able to answer my questions somewhat. You should. Because this is the God who is your God. Right? Oh yeah. And so that's my point. Listen to the Father's heart for you. And see, when Paul wept for people, when people were denying this truth, I sort of understand, not that I'm anything. Yeah, you're kind of short. That's what this guy is thinking back there. You're kind of short and you're Polish too. But when Paul would weep over people, I think I understand why. Because Paul knew what he was dealing with. And he knew what they were rejecting. And see, here's a point I'm going to try to make. I'm trying to make Almighty God, his desire for us, that's what they were rejecting. So it's sort of like, thank you. So it's sort of like, good kid there, good lungs. It's sort of like having the riches of the universe and you're handing them to people and they're stamping them under feet and taking off. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And this is what the Apostle Paul was offering in this calling to these people that were rejecting it. And so why does he weep? I tell you, weeping, he says many times. Seriously, full-grown man, called to the Lord. Why would he be weeping, literally, for people? Literally. If you have a dad, you see him weeping. What are you weeping about, Dad? Oh, I offered these people over here riches beyond their imaginations, and they're denying it. So I'm weeping for them. Yeah. So, I'm going on. In verse 1, I'll read it again. Paul, a sentinel of Christ Jesus with the full authority of God by the heart's desire of the Father, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Verse 2, grace to you and a state of inner peace be with you, knowing you are reconciled to God our Father. You are reconciled from God our Father and from our Lord Christ Jesus. Praise be, verse 3, unto the God and Father of our Lord Christ Jesus, who has graciously bestowed upon us every possible blessing belonging to the spiritual classification emanating from the exclusive power of God the Holy Spirit, within the highest heaven, the very dwelling place of God within the Christ, the beloved Son of God. You want me to read that again? See, what this expanded version does is it brings out more of the beauty of what our calling really is. And that's why I'm doing this. And I'm doing this because I want you to understand who your God is and who He is, what He is, and who's behind you. And the power that's behind you, and I'm going to say the love that is behind you. Do you know that you were chosen from eternity? And then you were placed in time. And then you're going to be brought out of time and placed into eternity. That is awesome. Hallelujah to that. And that's the reality of your choosing. I think it's Pa'aliso, called out. You're choosing before whatever Katabale is, before the foundation or the overthrow, whatever you might, you know, you were chosen out of eternal times. God is eternal. He always was.
We can't understand, you know, I say this before, we can't understand even the eternal God, so we can sort of, yeah. Because God always was. He always was, He always will be. You're in time, you're here, you're gone. Think of the difference. Think of the difference. And I know that through the Holy Spirit you can understand what I'm saying. God is eternal. He chose you out of eternity, placed you in time. He's going to draw you back to eternity through His Son. Incredible. Really. That's reality. And you're living in it. Yeah.
So, verse 3 again. Praise be unto God, the Father of our Lord Christ Jesus, who has graciously bestowed upon us every possible blessing belonging to the spiritual classification emanating from the exclusive power of God the Holy Spirit within the highest heaven, the very dwelling place of God, within the Christ, the beloved Son of God.
Verse 4.
Agreeable to the fact that the Father has chosen us out for His specific purpose in Christ, and I have here either before the laying down of the harmonious universe or the plunging of the earth into the deep, that we should be set apart for God's purpose, be made fit to be in His presence, that is, without any defects, unblemished, just as Christ is, as the Lamb of God, in an affectionate recognition that He takes pleasure in and with, which He is unwilling to do without. This is what I got out of studying the Greek. So, the Father, through the Son, has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the highest heaven. He's done so from eternity, and He's done this to make us fit to be in His presence. These are all facts. I didn't write these facts, but these are all facts to your calling. They are. They are all facts that are there. And this is the power that you live moment by moment by. Alright? I need this. I need this to live anymore. I need it to live. Okay? So He's gonna, by His good pleasure, He has made us to be in His presence without defects, like His Son, the Lamb of God. And this is His pleasure, and He is not willing to do without it. Okay? So it's not a matter of willy-nilly. It's a matter of He chose you. And it's like, do you have a child? How much would you do for that child? Are you willing, once you have that child, to do without it? Once you put the operation in motion of that child, are you willing to ever do without that child anymore? And yet we're sons. He put this in motion from eternity, and He's unwilling to do without you anymore, is the point. Do you understand the gist of that? Okay, so this is the loving God. All right? This is your loving Father. Not some person or some being out there, unattainable, unknowable. He's knowable. And He loves you. And He's not willing to do without you, is what I'm getting from the Koine of Ephesians 1. And so, you can either say, big deal, or you can say, I need that every second of every day. I do. Okay, that's what I'm trying to do here. Verse 5. Oh, what do I got? Oh, 5 minutes. Holy smokes, I'm using up my time. All right. Okay, I might not even get done. Verse 5, having foreordained us for... I get six more?
No,
five. Dang it. I'm sorry. Having foreordained us, verse 5, for the purpose that we may enter into the state of adoption as sons of God. Is that different than being a child? Oh, yes. With all the legal rights and privileges of a direct descendant, God is decreeing this from this purpose from out of eternity, Christ Jesus being the instrument through which this purpose was made possible. This decree coming down from the highest desire within the Father's heart because of his strong delight and pleasure in doing so. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has highly favored us as a matter of his choice. This highly favored, the Greek term there, is only used of one other person, and that's Mary, the mother of the Son of God. We're highly favored like she was, at least. Verse 7, in whom we were delivered from the wrath of God by the payment of a ransom, that is Christ's precious blood, canceling the debt and the guilt of sin as if none was ever committed, judicially removed in totality from the mind of God under the control of the riches of his merciful kindness. This is your Father. 7. Verse 7, verse 8 states, wherein he has abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his very will, according to his pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that he would head up all things in the Son. This has to do with heading up all things in the Son of God, and it has to do with the calling out of the body of Christ, and that is the final capstone of God's purpose for the ages, that he did this through the Son. It's the final work of Christ. It's where Paul in Philippians was talking about they have denied the cross of Christ. And he's talking about the finished work of Christ there. Verse 10, with respect to an administration of the completion of the epochs of time to bring back to their original state all things in the Christ, all things in the heavens, all things in the earth, yes, in him. What is God moving towards? What is his final purpose? That he will be all in all. And he's doing that through the Son. Amen. Verse 11, and then I'm going to end. In whom also we were made an inheritance, or we were made the Father's heritage. You are Almighty God, the Father's heritage. Boy, I sure don't feel like it. Boy, my back sure doesn't feel like I'm the heritage of God Almighty. Neither does my brain. Neither does my nervous system. Neither does my bank account. Neither does the attitude of my children. Neither do all my payments I gotta make. Neither do all the responsibilities I have. It doesn't matter. This is in Christ. It has nothing to do with your worldly flesh existence. It has to do with who you are in him. You are facing this place like I am. And why are we here? Did you ever wonder that? I mean, just like, oh man, why am I here? Well, I'm here to be called. Well, what is this place? Well, this place is a place of sorrow because of sin. Right? I mean, are you going to avoid that? No. Did God place you here? Yeah, he did. Hallelujah. Because if you weren't placed here, he could never give you all these things. All right, so are you going to take some guff and some pain and some problems and all of these things? Yeah, they're unavoidable because
This is the process that he has to work with us. We have to go through the process. But its end is tremendously glorious. Alright, so let's trust in him as we do. We are the Father's heritage, having been previously marked out according to the purpose of the one who operates all things according to the counsel of his own will. Amen. And that's where I'm going to end it. I hope that this was edifying for you. I had this on my heart, and a lot of times I'll give a message that is a message to myself, because I have to realize moment by moment who is behind me in order for me to be strong, in order for me to put on the armor of God and be correct. So I thank you guys for being here. I love you all.